irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, November 24th. I know, I didn't have the date ready here
for me.
Oh,
it's all good.
And we're here on Black Friday because we love doing what we do.
Yes.
Right, Rachel?
Instead, I had
to get you out of bed, but you know what?
Honestly,
it gets your day started, right?
I will
right?
say, it wasn't necessarily you that got me out of bed.
Oh,
I had
okay.
a buffet this morning. The gluttony continues.
Oh, really?
Listen, I don't just stop at Thanksgiving. I make it a whole weekend. You know, it's a whole extravaganza. I plan for those 5 pounds.
Are you planning on losing them too?
100%. They're going away as soon as this weekend's over. That's exactly what's happening.
That's awesome. And you're visited by your family, and you brought us a guest today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce her to us?
I did. I brought a very special guest. I've known her my whole life.
Wow, you must be pretty close.
Well,
then.
Actually, not my whole life. That's not
no.
true. I've known her all of her life.
Right.
it's my sister, little sister, Rebecca Wolfson. She likes to be called Rebecca now in professional
sense. It depends on who I'm talking to.
She used to be Becca Wolfson, but now that she's a professional, she's Rebecca Wolfson.
Rebecca, right?
Well, I did start out as Rebecca, and then...
And then you changed it to Becca.
She jumped around a bit.
Yeah.
I guess, in your childhood, teens, whatever, right? Or did you, like, later on get Becca?
I don't know. Someone just named me Becca one day, and I liked it.
She's not a Becky, though. Don't call her Becky.
No Becky, Becky, huh?
No
never
Becky.
Becky.
Yeah, I know. You picture something else when you say Becky, right?
Yeah, I just picture a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's a Becca or a Rebecca.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, so you guys, for those of you who obviously, I mean, many of you can't see you, but you guys do look alike.
It's
very similar smile.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But
yeah,
do you think
we
also look different too?
Yes.
I hope
But
so.
You also see me every day. Some people who never like have met us or spent a lot of time with us, they're like, oh my gosh, twins.
Really? Look, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Usually when we're together, at least one person thinks that we're twins.
Really?
Or that she's like older.
Yeah.
Or she's the older one.
Really? So what's the difference between you guys? 3 years or something?
Well, today it's 4 years, but after Rachel's birthday in January, it'll be 5 years. So it just depends
on
the day.
Yeah, it depends on when. Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that means you come across as mature and everything. We're not going to ask you how old you are.
No, let's not. We won't even. We don't have to drop numbers.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We're just.
But you took life by the testicles early on. Huh?
A little bit. Yeah. People are always surprised. They always say how young I am. And meanwhile, I feel old. I'm just.
Wow.
She's an old soul.
You've been through a lot. Yeah.
Just tired.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, but you come across as mature and everything. Tell us what it is that you do.
Well, I'm an attorney, and more specifically, I'm a city prosecutor. So I represent the city of Las Vegas, and I prosecute people.
Wow. So now this is a family thing, Rachel.
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about this.
She's in the same building as my dad.
I work one floor underneath my father, who is also a prosecutor.
Right. So you followed your mom and your dad into law. Did you feel early on that's what you wanted to do?
Since I was probably like 10 years old, I've been telling people I was going to be a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah, and it's only because both of my parents were, and that's all I really knew. And I would go to work with them when I was a kid.
Yeah, they would take us to like prison and court.
Yeah, I mean, I would sit in the back of the
courtroom. We walked by inmates. Like, we were walking by the men in orange jumpsuits from like a young age. I think it was just more a scare tactic, you know? Just more just like, hey, this is what happens if you don't listen to mom and dad. You could be with these people.
Like, this is what you don't want to
do. Yeah, right.
And one day I knew that was the path I was going to go down, and I went down that path.
And you definitely persisted and you did it. Now, how many years of education did it take to become a lawyer?
Oh, she fast tracked it though.
Oh, really?
Like, she did many years of school, but she like got it done.
I graduated college in 3.5 years, and then I graduated law school in 2.5 years. But it's supposed to take 4 and 3, like
Right, right.
So they say.
So how do you do that? By taking a heavier load of courses or something?
Oh, my gosh,
something?
Yeah.
You just don't stop.
Yeah,
wow.
You just keep going.
Yeah, it's like a job. I mean, or like something you work towards, right? I mean, you put all your efforts into it.
Yeah, a job that you pay for, which is
right.
A little unsettling at times. But
right, but you work towards something,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Wow. And where did you go to school?
I did my undergrad in San Francisco. I went to the University of San Francisco, and I did law school at UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Yeah. Do they have a good law school there?
They do. It's
really?
A really good law school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, when I went there, I was in the 70s. It was a rather new university, and it wasn't known around the country. And then when the basketball team became known, then UNLV came into the spotlight.
We're talking a little bit about this. Well, now it's like, I mean, it only gets better because like in places like Nevada, Las Vegas and Florida, it's a retiree place. Right. And so you'll get a lot of these professors who are retired professionals in the industry in which they worked in. So you're actually learning from people who you know, gone out there and you know, done these jobs or whatever, rather than just someone who teaches it.
And Vegas is a great place to live. I mean, cost of living is not that expensive, and there's always something to do. There's always some place to eat. So it's a good, I mean,
and there's
a
no
good
shortage
home.
Of crime. So it's a good business
to
job be.
Job security is real.
Yeah, for lawyers.
Yeah. So you do have job security in Vegas, you feel?
Well, I do work for the government, so a little bit of job security.
Yeah,
I
so
hope.
Nothing changes there, right?
Yeah, and people just continue to commit crimes. So for now, I've got that job security.
Yeah. So you in criminal law?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So you went all the way. Because some people end up with tax law or, you know, whatever, personal injury and all that stuff. Yep. But you wanted the action.
I did. And I definitely see the action. I am in court all day, every day.
Wow.
And it is just a consistently moving job.
Right. But I would say, I would venture to say interesting.
Absolutely. You
right?
see something
I mean,
new
you
every
see
day.
Some stuff. There, I mean, it's funny because my dad, after he retired, he started going to the courthouse just to watch trials.
Yeah.
You know, he says it's very entertaining and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously people's lives are on the line here and everything. So you deal with a lot of sensitive stuff for people.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, my job allows me information that not everyone can get. And that's a very interesting aspect behind it. I also had to go through a lot of background checks and things like that in order to get where I am today.
You have to be squeaky clean.
Absolutely. I mean, and you're dealing with people's lives here. So
that's true, yeah. Well, thank goodness we have people that are squeaky clean in the government, you know.
Well, at least there's some left, it seems.
So you love living in Vegas, you say?
Well, love would be a very strong way of putting it. I was born and raised there. Both of us were, my sister and I.
Right.
And we both left for college. I think Rachel left a little earlier than college. But we got out, and then I ended up coming back, but not necessarily because I wanted to live in Vegas. It was just the smartest decision for me, and I haven't left yet.
Yeah.
So.
Tell me something. I would imagine at your age, you have friends that probably haven't got anything beyond college yet, huh?
Yep.
Or some of them maybe never even went to college.
I think some of us, I mean, I feel like I still do.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who chose not to go to college.
Right.
Only a couple of people.
Right.
But it was their choice.
Right, right. But you've made such headway. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, I rushed.
How much you've accomplished, you know?
Well, thank you.
So you rushed because you didn't want to waste any time.
Well, it just felt right. I don't like to not do things. And so when I was in school, I just kept, during like winter breaks and summer, I just kept doing it.
Yeah.
I thought, why not? I was allowed to do it, so...
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. And so in this way, you guys are very different.
Yes.
But now let me ask you this: growing up, were you guys close? Were you fighting a lot? How did
we did
work?
Fight a lot, but we
but
also,
that's for kids. I mean, kids do.
But I think we also did get along when the time, because I did leave rather early. I left at 17, and then she was probably 13 at the time.
14, yeah.
So which is like a weird age gap.
That's true.
And also at the time I feel like we would have been getting close is when the time that I had left for school and then for college.
Right.
So like we kind of got close.
We got close after...
After, like...
When I hit high school.
Yeah. Yeah. When she got older. And then she started hanging out with my friends because I left home, but my friends, like, were there. And I was like, you should hang out with these people because they'll look after you, you know?
And they did. I mean, some of my best friends are my sister's friends.
Yeah, so we're all like, when we go back now, it's kind of one big group of
nice
people.
So you share friends and stuff.
Yeah,
now,
now we're like,
now
yeah,
we're super
now
close.
Yeah, now we're super tight, you know. Like, it's funny whenever if I'm home, we'll go out together and stuff, and it's, you know, we're just like the sisters.
Yeah, that, yeah, yeah. I can totally see, like, the sister connection, you know. Yeah. And it would be interesting to see. I mean, I grew up with old brothers, you know, so I don't know what that's like, but it sounds interesting, you know. And then and I mean sisters as far as, like, not a brother and a sister, but two females.
Yeah,
you know?
But also
you
she's kind of like, she's kind of more the older sister, even though she's younger sister. Yeah. I'm very much like little sister trapped in big sister's body.
Yeah,
but she still takes care of me like a big sister does. And yeah.
I make sure things are all right, but I feel like in terms of, like, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm up to my mischief. You know.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the thing is, life is not just about, you know, what you achieve in your daytime. It's like the connection you have with people, you know.
Yeah.
It's like how much you have to offer as a person.
Right.
You know, regardless of whether you're a lawyer or not, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So do you find that, I mean, I won't go into your personal life, but I mean, would you in general think it's intimidating for men, for other women, when there's a young woman in law in your position?
I mean,
she's like the youngest person, pretty much the youngest person in the whole in your whole office, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm one of the youngest people in my office, definitely the youngest lawyer. And then again, I work in the same building as my dad, and I'll tell you right now, that's not like the biggest turn on for men.
so true.
If we're getting personal, I mean, dating one is hard,
but I think that's
strong,
good, because honestly, I don't want no schmuck to come up and think he can date my sister and get away with it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Well, a couple have tried.
Exactly, a couple of them have tried and it ended miserably for all of them. You know, but the thing is. If I think that's a, I like that. It's kind of like a built-in
it's
filter.
Yeah, it's an automatic
like a,
filter.
Like you know, yeah, exactly. Like a bad dude filter, you know, a fuckboy filter, if you will. Dad, you're just a parent of yours, mainly your father working in the same building as you is for sure.
Well, it probably doesn't help that I have lunch with him like twice a week.
Right.
And
so
yeah. I mean, out with my parents, and which I love to do.
If a guy has the nerve to ask her out, I think the first thing you should do is invite him on a double date with you and dad.
Yeah, like a lunch
like
date.
Like a lunch date. Like almost an interview. Call it an interview. Really.
That's what it would
really
be.
Would
yeah,
be
tell him you, with date. Me, you get the package deal.
Right.
You know?
The funny thing is, comes with. Our parents aren't that intimidating when it comes to boys in our lives.
Right.
So it's never been an issue of our parents, I don't know, having something to say about it, rather just the people not wanting to bother.
I mean, they are intimidating. Like, like people, like, yeah, every guy I've ever dated has probably been nervous or intimidated.
Maybe
especially
we're just
to
not intimidated.
To both of them. Right, especially to meet both of them. But once you get to know them, they're really nice.
Yeah. We've got cool parents.
Yeah.
No, I know, but that's sort of like what they project because of what they do, maybe. You know, because, I mean, you guys know them in their private lives.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I hear, like, just to hear other people, just even friends, talk about, you know, meeting mom and dad.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, I mean, if I was, even if I wasn't me, I would be intimidated to meet them, too. I mean,
yeah,
my
right?
mom's job was to judge people.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
right?
Dad's job was to put them in prison.
Exactly.
So,
it's like, my God.
And
you know?
I introduce myself as a city prosecutor.
Right.
That's not the best
And then my
line.
Other sister
right?
will send you to jail.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
We're not that desirable
that
right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems like the perfect.
I get it now. I get it
recipe
now. Now I see what people
anxiety.
See.
Anxiety. So you want? Yeah, I mean,
I promise we're fun.
I know. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I, I think that's why I ended up in stand-up comedy with that recipe. You know, it was either we had to balance it somehow.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it was too much pressure, overwhelming for you, if you will.
Yeah, it just like spilled over. Right. I'm like, I'm just.
It's like, how do you live up to something like
tell
that?
Tell me about it.
It's more just like for that. See, Becca lives up to it. Me, I'm just like, I'm just gonna make you guys laugh.
Yeah,
you know,
listen, if everybody was the same, everybody would be a lawyer. Yeah, you know, and true. What kind of thing would that be?
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel's probably the entertaining one in the family, right?
No, they're all entertaining in their own way. Yeah. I think I'm a combination of all of them, and that's why I mean, first off, being a lawyer and the type of lawyer and the type of jobs that they have, they compare it very similar to acting. You have to be, actors and lawyers have to possess some of the very same characteristics, especially when you're a trial lawyer or trial judge or anything, yeah, because you have to be able to tell a story and perform and play into people's emotions. So I grew up watching them do that, and then also my mom did have an acting background and a television. You know, she was a TV news reporter. She had a communications degree. So I'm bits of both of them. I just happened to go in the more, you know, in the acting, comedy, entertainment, you know, without the law,
the unconventional way. But I mean, we
possess the same qualities, just we use different mediums to.
And you chose more the creative, fun way, and why not? You know, why not?
Right,
there's nothing wrong with it.
And we all
that's who you are.
And that's the thing is, I mean, I don't know about Dad, but Mom definitely, and Becca for sure. I mean, Becca has an eye for design that I just don't possess, you know. And I don't think my mom really does either. But my mom is very creative in her own way.
Right.
She also uses both sides of her brain. She's ambidextrous. I mean, she's creative. Yeah. I bet you it would be. You know, I bet if my mom really just pushed herself, she would have been a great actress. She could have done it. I mean, I think though she doesn't have as much. I think to be an actress, you have to have this high sense of narcissism that my mom, you know, she doesn't have that. Right. Like, oh, I could, you know, I think she has that she could be anything she'd want to be. Kind of, I don't know. I just think that for her, it was better for her to choose the law route. But she could have done anything she ever wanted.
But Rach, like Mom, Dad, and I look at you and look at what you do. And you do it like every night. I mean, you talk about all these shows that you do, and we couldn't do that.
Right. I mean, could you stand in front of people like that?
I mean, I feel like they all could.
We see, they all do. But they all do.
We do it in a serious context, and we have the law to fall back
on. But they also add humor naturally. That's the thing. It's like they've always... They all work these serious jobs, but they're some of the most sarcastic, funny, like just off the wall, ridiculous.
Well, you have to
be
quick. The thing about lawyers is they're quick witted, and that's the thing about comedians is they're also quick witted. So we're just talking about different things. We're doing it in different contexts.
Yeah.
But we're so proud of you.
Also,
I mean, like watching you do those, watching you get on stage in front of people and put yourself out there like that, your life is on the line. When we do it, other people's lives are on the line.
Right.
Like, we're like,
well,
it's not
us.
Well,
the thing is, like, growing up, you know, we'd be all together, and, like, we would be, you know, arguing with Dad, and, like, to be able to, like, I would beat my dad. We would beat Dad in an argument. He'd be like, that's a, you know, he would concede and be like, you have a point, you know? Yeah. But I'm like, this is what you get.
You and, created us.
Yeah. And not only that, but look, she's on radio, okay? Not everybody's on radio.
That's
people
true.
Would love
you guys
to...
scoop me up at the Comedy Store that one night.
But the thing is, look, but that doesn't matter. The point is that you do very well here.
Thank
you belong here.
Thank you.
And that's another thing that not just anybody could do.
That's true. No.
Really.
That's
true. I had a lot of candidates. I mean, every time, you
America's
know,
top next LA talk radio host.
Exactly.
That's basically
radio
what it was,
host.
Additions.
Yeah, you know, and it sort of fell in her lap, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't even look for this.
Yeah.
So,
but she looks
nice.
The part. I mean, if it was...
Yes, I hide behind a mic very well. Thank you.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that I didn't even see her bit...
Yeah.
Because I was outside having a cigarette. But then when she came out, Casey and Tori told me, here, you should meet this girl. She's funny. And I didn't know anything about her. I just said, come on the show. And let's see if you're funny.
That
you know?
Was a...
Yeah.
You rolled the dice with that one. But yeah, you did. But you got a but 7. Isn't that her. What's good?
Yeah. We invited her on the show, and she did great. And Tori's like, she's got my approval. I said, okay, then Rachel is it, you know? But that's what I'm saying. So, look, we're not Howard Stern, but at the same time, not everybody has to be, you know?
Yeah.
So, but nevertheless, you know, you've accomplished a lot. And besides, you don't know what's around the next corner.
That's the thing is, like, I'm not worried because I know, you know, everything will come to me as long as I work hard. You
right.
know? It will come to me at the right time. I'm not worried because I'm on the path, if that makes right. sense. I work hard. I you know, and I have good opportunities. Like, I get to be on the radio every day.
Yeah,
you know, I get
you.
To make people laugh.
And so. You're happy and you're smiling.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line,
and
right?
And I tell her that I have the feeling, and I keep having this feeling. I just know it. I know something big is coming, and I don't know what it is because I can't.
Hopefully it's a good big, yeah, not I mean, like a blue.
No, it feels news. Good. It's a good feeling, so I hope it's a good big.
Because you're not mediocre. I mean, that, you know.
Thank you so much for calling me not mediocre. That's
like the literally nicest thing anyone's ever said.
I know. I'm that is very nice.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you stand out. That's what I'm saying. You know, so. No, so really, I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't come, but it can take a long time. I mean, look,
listen,
for me,
I ain't got nothing but time. So
yeah, exactly, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. You know, because starting at your age, I was working a lot of different things. Sometimes for my own business, sometimes for other people. Only this station only happened to me when I turned 50 or 48 or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's different.
You never know.
Yeah, and you never know where it's going to come from.
I also just,
but it can be a while. People expect it to happen
right
away in their lives.
No,
but
no.
Everybody's got a different journey.
100%. And I think that's the other thing is everyone wants it to be instant. You know, who doesn't want that instant gratification? But I was never the one that ever, you know, got it right away, too. I had to go through my shit to get to everywhere I've needed to go. So I've never expected anything overnight. I just know it's all part of the process.
Except Amazon.
Amazon,
overnight,
100% expect that overnight.
Prime
that's the only thing
has
you can
changed
get,
my
for
mentality.
For sure.
I know.
He's very anti-Amazon.
Oh, sorry.
Me?
No, but do you like Amazon?
Do you know how much money I spend on Amazon?
He's not anti-Amazon. He's just a sucker so much that he's like, God damn it. You know what I mean?
No. Let me explain to you about
how
Amazon.
How do you feel
about
it?
Yeah, but let me just say this. That for me, Amazon's become a social network.
Right.
You know how much time I spend on there, so I end up buying all the time.
Oh, you are aware of the plot. You're aware of how it's taking. You're aware of it.
I've been grabbed by it. But no, the only thing about Amazon is that it's totally disrupted the retail.
Brick and mortar.
So and it was almost Amazon almost single handedly.
And bookshops. Remember you were talking about stores.
That was the first.
Yeah, Black Friday. I mean, retail is pretty much dead otherwise. Like, I don't remember the last time I went down to the actual mall. Like, if I go shopping, I go to my few
outlets,
places, but I do online.
I don't even
shopping.
Buy stuff full price anymore.
I mean,
everything
I hardly
is at
shop.
The outlet.
But outlet shopping is what I'll do.
You like
but
the
I
outlets.
Mean,
true. Either that, or you go to Macy's and they practically give away their merchandise with all the coupons and money back
it's
they
true.
Give you and shit. Really?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
And so you're seeing this. They're desperate. They're closing down stores.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And so that's what I'm saying. But I don't hate Amazon because the bottom line is this is progress and we can't get in the way. We have to really embrace progress because if we don't, we're going to fall behind.
I agree with him. Back to what we were just saying, like with progress, like I think as you were saying, you know, like you think you have this feeling like something good is coming.
Yeah.
I think now is just such a good time for women to be in the entertainment industry, as bad as it seems. As bad as it maybe as much as it's not, it really is because I there's a reckoning occurring, I think. And I want to think that it's for the better once we get all the shit, you know, of where we're like, you know, every day it's a new person, but I'm hoping, you know, like
something
we'll get
it
all out and then it's, you know, enough, you know, no more. But I really think, you know, in comedy, especially in the entertainment industry, there's this complex with women, you know, age, but I don't feel that way about myself and my experience because, especially in comedy, the older you are, the more experience you have, the more material you have to come up with. So,
right.
You know, we'll see.
And comedy is so broad. I mean, there's so many different things that you do in your industry that it's not just stand-up comedy. I mean, you're multi-talented.
Right.
The opportunity is not limited to something comedy-related stand-up-related.
Right. I think her ego is totally inflated and the show is only halfway through.
Go on. We have 25 more minutes.
I love my sister. I'm proud of my sister.
And I didn't have a pretty journey.
My journey has been kind of rough.
But life was not meant to be easy, I don't think. You know, I mean, everybody's got their own challenges. I don't know one person. Like when you meet somebody who like tells you, you know, sometimes we have guests here. They'll tell us how great. I mean, they just tell us their life story, and you go, wow, you know, they never had any adversity. But it's not true. Everybody does.
They're just not telling you.
Right.
Or, I mean, there is...
Or it's still coming up for them.
We have, exactly. We have guests from all different walks of life, and some of them do share their stories of, like, you know, we've had some really... You know, heavy stuff. But on the opposite end, there are some people who just, you know, they've had a good life. They knew from the beginning they were on that, and it just worked out for them. And that's the other interest. But like you said, they just don't know maybe what's even coming.
Exactly.
You know? There's a whole life ahead of them. You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it hits you at different times. It's just a matter of how you overcome it.
Yeah.
So
I look at life and people like traffic on the freeway. Everybody's going at a different pace, a different speed, in different directions.
To different places.
And people are like that too, you know.
Everyone has different cars. Yeah, some are nicer than the other,
Go a different And so that's what I'm saying. It's not everybody in sync. You know what I'm saying? So
some people have a little bit more work than others.
All shapes and sizes.
All shapes
and
colors.
And we don't know why.
And colors, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great metaphor for human existence. Traffic.
Right? No, but really,
Or lack thereof.
And I compare it to traffic in another way by saying that, like, for example, people are like cars. Like, for example, cars, they're different colors, they're different shapes, right? But they're all cars.
Yeah,
they all have wheels, right? So I mean,
some have better interior than others, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No. But what I'm trying to say is, we're all people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bottom line,
we're not all Lamborghinis, though.
Colors, different shapes, different languages, but we're all people for crying out loud. And that's the bottom line. You know, that's my analogy.
Some people are Lamborghinis, and some people are Tercels.
Exactly. You know. But there are people,
and we have to accept it. Some don't.
Yeah, and some people are Priuses.
Do they still make Tercels?
Yeah, the vegans are Priuses.
Yeah.
Do they still make Tercels? Those are the Priuses.
They stopped making them,
right? Everybody's got a friggin' Prius.
I know.
Man.
Not me.
I know they're ugly and they're terrible.
Yeah,
but
like
everybody's got
plastic,
them.
Recyclable plastic on wheels.
Right. I feel like if I don't really recycle in life, I can't have a Prius.
Yeah.
So I just.
Yeah. I know, but then came Tesla. And it made it sexy.
Ooh, I see Tesla
to recycle.
Cool. Yeah, but have you heard about having to charge those things? Like, you can't take those on road trips,
right?
Because it takes like I don't know. I'm guessing here, but it takes some time to charge those things.
Yes, it's not for a road trip. This is to drive around.
Right.
Like, I mean, the range
it's
is
a good
no
car
more than 250.
For here.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
around
agree.
Town.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree. And at home too, you gotta have a special hookups. Mm-hmm.
You plug it in.
Things like this. Yeah, so that's no big deal. But yeah, that's one of the things because that's been the biggest hindrance and the thing that's slowing down progress on electric cars is the battery. It's like how big a battery are you gonna put on the car?
Right.
You know, so they need to make the battery smaller, more efficient, whatever. I remember once I read...
I think they should make solar-powered cars, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no,
out
for
here,
sure.
In solar, in areas where, you know, or at least solar-powered capability.
Right, right. No, and I told you, I said right now they still have... The only solar-powered cars are really flat and big because you have to really capture a lot
panels.
Of solar.
Yeah,
yeah, you need all those panels and you need
a
to capture
panels.
A lot. So there's challenges with every new technology, but... I'm sure we're going to get there, you know, just a matter of time.
I'm just waiting for the car that will drive me everywhere. No, I don't need it to fly.
Oh, the self-driving car? But we read about that car in Vegas, that just the self-driving one that crashed into.
Well, it was the bus, and yeah, it was. And they blamed it on the human, actually, because it crashed into a car driven by a person.
Yeah, right.
And that's so they blamed it on the one driven by the person. But I don't get autonomous driving vehicles yet. I need to see more of them before I trust it.
That's true. But not only that, I love to drive.
I do too, but you know, sometimes I like to drink.
But not in traffic, right? Not in traffic.
Well, not in traffic. Right. And if I drink, I don't drive.
So you want the option, yeah.
So I want my car to just take me somewhere.
That's true. So you have the option in a car, whether it drives for you or you drive it, right?
Right.
That's the way it's going to be. Wow. Mm. That's pretty cool. You see, now there's something exciting to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there's also a lot of grim stuff to look forward to as well in the future. And we talked about that, you know. What do you think about machine intelligence? I mean, even Elon Musk himself said that artificial intelligence...
But you heard about the robot that got citizenship in Saudi Arabia, right?
Right,
before, even, like, they have more rights than women.
I am terrified. Of technology. I don't know.
Have you seen the movie AI?
I mean, AI.
But Minority Report.
Yeah,
I don't know
all
if you've
of them. We have
one.
A ton of movies that but, warn us about this stuff, but then we're like, let's make robot citizens.
Well,
right.
I mean, even our phones are becoming so technologically
Alexa.
Advanced.
I don't like Alexa.
They start to know you as a person, and you kind of lose your privacy a little bit when you're allowing these machines to like
right.
capture your every aspect
data.
Of your
but
face.
But it's not only that. We put it out there voluntarily. On social media, though,
yeah.
as far as
some
giving up our
do.
Privacy.
Well, yeah, some people
right.
do. I mean,
so
I
have no
like,
privacy at all
well,
anywhere.
Well,
anymore.
Right. And if you choose to share your entire life with the people on the internet, then that's your choice. But if it's not your choice and you're doing it in your own home and technology has just surrounded you, it just, I don't know, it takes over.
Very
your...
vulnerable, absolutely. It's like your life becomes transparent or
yeah,
something, you know.
It's
no,
crazy.
I agree with you. And they use all that big data. And but
you I've
know,
gotten a lot more telemarketer calls lately.
I blame
it on the technology increase. I don't know why it keeps happening, but they keep calling.
Really? I haven't got any calls
really?
Like that at all.
I'll
yeah.
get like five a day. I think I need
I feel like that's like a Vegas thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Something's going on.
Yeah, maybe they just found your number and they like
Sam
it.
Sam used to, I know he mentioned before, but he lived in Vegas for how many years?
Okay, I lived there from 1976 to 1980.
Okay.
And then from 1994 for a year.
Okay.
I was around that year.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Where, in what part in the 90s of Vegas?
What part of Vegas? That was on the... west and on the west side. So if you take Sahara and you go west beyond
like Red Rock area.
Before that though.
Red Rock wasn't around then, remember?
Red Rock, the rocks were there.
Right, the rocks were there, but this was like almost the end, you know. I don't even remember the name of the street. It's so like
Charleston. No.
No. No, on Sahara you go west. You can't get to Charleston.
I don't know, Town Center or Wallapai. Or
yeah, exactly. Town Center, I think, past that.
Uh-huh.
That's about where I was,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
So that was in the 90s. And I lived there for about, actually, 2 years. And I worked for a video game company. I was, at the time, I started a 3D animation company here. But then I closed it for because my bipolar reared its ugly head and I couldn't stay with it. So, but I was one of the pioneers in this. So they hired me, a video game company in Vegas. They were called Westwood Studios, hired me. And I moved there and I did some great stuff, you know. Then I worked for Debbie Reynolds in her hotel.
Oh, that's cool.
Because her son, obviously Carrie Fisher's brother, Todd, hired me to do graphics there for a Hollywood museum
cool.
that they were doing. She had like $50 million worth of stuff from studios for movies. I mean, everything you can think of, the red shoes from The Wizard of Oz. And, you know, she bought it from the studios for nothing. They virtually gave them to her. So they wanted to display this in a high-tech, for the 90s it was high-tech, like touchscreen. I mean, I did a touchscreen presentation in 1994. Can you believe this?
That's crazy.
You know, there was
no internet yet.
Before
it was, everything's touchscreen
before
now.
Any touchscreen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was on the computer, you know, because that's what we wanted to do.
I miss old Vegas. They used to have some.
So, yeah, Vegas was nice, and I miss it too. That's why I think
it's not
now,
the same anymore.
It doesn't attract me as much. It
yeah.
really doesn't.
I mean,
but I want to go. Because, you know what, even when I go, I mean, you guys don't hang out on the strip much when you're
actually,
in Vegas, right?
Now that I go home, we do kind of hang out
when
there
you visit,
often. Yeah.
But when you live, do you?
No,
well,
no, no.
I work downtown.
Yeah, true. When we grew up, though, it was only like special occasions and like
yeah, we
special,
never went to the
you right, know, let, we didn't go I mean. Unless we had to, or like dad, if there was a new show in town, dad always made sure that we got to go see it. And
the Cirque shows,
yeah,
the Cirque du Soleil shows.
He's a big Cirque fan.
Blue Man Group, sure. I've seen like 15
Blue Man Group,
times.
Yeah,
really?
Blue Man
my
Group
favorite
for sure.
Show. Yeah,
wow.
I got called on stage. They brought me up on stage.
So I've gone
jealous?
To Blue Man Group like 15 times.
Oh my
and
god!
I wanted. I've
they pick
every
you out of the whole audience.
I want to go on stage, and I've never been. And I sit in the front. Like I'll wear the poncho. I want to get called. On stage, never get called on stage. My sister comes to town randomly one weekend, goes to Blue Man Group for the first time in years. She gets called on stage.
Yep, they selected me out of the audience.
I'm just like, are you kidding? Like, I Whoa. And I haven't seen it since because I think
She's,
it's rigged.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was like, did dad tell them to pull me out of the audience?
I really want to go on stage.
Why do you want to? So they always call people on stage?
They bring
because
you
I'm
on
so
for
curious.
This for the marsh.
The Twinkie skit.
The Twinkie one, yeah.
They have a few different skits that are audience involved.
Yeah.
But that one would look like a fun
one. Blessed. Blessed, very blessed.
So what do they do? I've never really seen
their They're like music. They're performers, but it's music, combines music and performance art or performance.
And they're blue.
And, yeah, and they're blue.
Right.
They're all blue.
Right, but how long can you be amazed by the fact that they're blue?
They do. It's
what
well,
do they
it's
an hour and 15
Yeah,
minutes.
They do an hour and but it's also like comedy and
okay,
music.
Okay, so there is
and,
comedy.
Yeah. Oh, it's
do
a
they
bunch
talk?
Of, no.
They don't talk.
They
no.
don't talk.
Right.
It's
so
almost
like
a modern day mime
right.
type of thing. Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually.
But they're musicians and they're artists and
yeah.
they're performance is like it's a performance and they've put
they
together
make people
little
laugh
skits.
Without talking which
right.
is cool
and they're yeah. good drummers I love yeah. the drumming I don't know it's very
well I mean yeah they're cool they have to you have to know how to because I had an ex-boyfriend that wanted to, that tried to be a blue man he would have done he would have been great Scott he would have been a great blue man
oh, I've never even heard this
and he was also a drummer but they were just saying the stuff that they paint you every day you know it's just like
you're blue
you're a blue man
yeah wow very interesting so Maybe I can look it up online. Maybe there's clips or something, just
oh, yeah.
so I can
oh,
get
yeah.
an idea.
I bought the soundtrack. I mean,
she's kind of a big,
like I said, it was my favorite show.
Well, I will tell you this story. That was her favorite show. But growing up, Celine Dion, "My Heart Will Go
oh,
On," was her favorite song from the Titanic.
Wow.
And mom got us tickets to go see Celine Dion in
it was
concert,
my first
right?
concert
it was her first
ever.
Concert.
I think I was
We're all very excited.
I think I was 4 years old. So
no, you're a little bit older.
No, I was young. Because
I think you're a little bit old. You're like 5 or 6, probably.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Because we're in the other house and we were in the other house.
I don't know.
We were in so you were
it
had
was
to be like.
Like what? 97,
right?
98.
Right. And it was
Titanic
my first concert.
Yeah, it was
ever.
Our first concert, and so.
But I only
we get through,
liked "My Heart Will
well, yeah,
Go On."
Yeah, she didn't
that
care about any other
Celine
Dion
song.
Like
song.
I was obsessed with Celine Dion. I know like every song of hers, and so obviously the concert, the "My Heart Will Go On" comes on at the end.
It's the last
they
song.
They save it because that's
song,
the best.
Yeah.
That's the most popular song of that time
right.
ever. She's passed out. She never saw it.
I fell asleep.
She
like
still
three
to
song.
This day has never seen "My Heart Will Go On"
right.
live.
Right. I saw. I tried so hard to stay awake, and I made it through like the first hour of her show, and then I just passed. Out
wow.
and they tried to wake me up for the song and I just didn't wake
she
did, up
she wasn't about it she's like wake me up late you know she
yeah.
didn't care she
they
didn't,
carried
you know,
me to the car and then I cried when I woke up
yeah and we told
missed.
Her we were like you missed it it was the best concert of our
like,
lives
my heart won't go on
no
how terrible
yeah
so
did you like the movie Titanic
yeah that's where I learned the song
right
yeah.
oh wow very interesting. We only have a few minutes. Well, actually, you know,
we have like 10
we
minutes
can,
left.
But we can steal another 5 because the next host is not coming.
Heck
in.
Yes.
So we'll have about another 15 minutes. God, does that play anything in your life? The concept.
The concept. I mean,
we're getting
I,
deep here.
Oh, no, I appreciate. I mean,
no,
no
Sam
we
Sam is doing a, an ex, not ex,
no,
not
not
an experiment,
experiment.
But he always likes to ask
that's
each guest.
That's fair. That's
you're
fair.
Doing a, not an experiment, but you like to find out where.
I do.
Not
and
because, it, not for. No,
but
no,
let
no,
me
no,
tell you what,
I,
it opens up great conversations.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So God is not a personal part of my life. It is around me in the sense of other people in my life. It's in their lives, and I'm surrounded by it. I I work with a lot of different cultures and religions and all of those things, but I identify as Jewish. I love being Jewish. I don't really believe in the one, the God, the guy out there, the girl out there, the omnipotent being.
Right.
Omnipresent.
He's everywhere, but yet he doesn't meddle, but he I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I'm kind of just living my life and hoping for the best.
Right. And that's usually the case, is like, I don't know, and nobody really knows, but that's right. What I'm asking.
Well, some people think they know.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I know. They speak for God. Like, we need someone to translate for us, you know.
Well, I think God speaks perfect English if he were out there.
Or any language for that matter, right?
Well, if he's omnipresent, he should be omnispoken. He can speak anything.
So that's why I like to separate the concept of God, which to me is the intelligence behind all this, because I definitely do not believe that even in 14 billion years that the universe just randomly by dust, cosmic dust, could have become what we are.
I've come to the conclusion that we're definitely aliens, if you think about it. We're living on a rock in space.
It's my favorite topic.
You know, we're living, if you think about it, if we take ourselves away, we take a step back and we're like, okay, we're floating on this ball in space, right?
Right.
And if we got visitors from another ball in space, they are aliens, if you think, right?
Right.
To us, we would be aliens to them.
Oh, right.
Creatures
totally aliens
of another planet. We're aliens. We're not artificial, but we are intelligent. We're beings, you know.
Well, we evolved, so,
right?
I believe in evolution.
Well, to me,
right?
It's just so hard. It's for me. It's like, okay, like you said, there had to be some. I agree. There had to be some intelligent designer,
like to start it all,
right?
No, it was like a spark of a match. It was
something. But who lit the match? Right? Like who lit the match?
Right. But those are the means in which it happened, you know. But the thing is that how did that thing? What happened before the Big Bang?
Because for me, there's intention behind. For me, there's like intention behind the design. Like we were, there's like flower. You know, there's a purpose for vegetables. You know, the things that are, you know, there's just certain things that I'm like, I don't know. I just in my life for me, but then I'm on the other side. I'm like, nothing matters, you know. At any point, you know, this all could just be taken away from us.
I don't think there was any intention behind human life. I think it just happened. I believe that the reason we've evolved to where we are was an actual
accident,
coincidence in the universe.
Even our mind, which I'm not talking about the physical thing,
right?
You know?
No, not the brain itself, but the individual
mind.
Thoughts that humans have.
Right.
I'm fascinated
the emotions,
by that.
Right.
Well, that's what scares me.
Where did that come from?
Well, that's what scares me, and that, like, I hate to get really like morbid on all of you, but like that's what scares me about death, is like your mind shuts off, you lose your ability to think as an individual. Like that, we're all made up of the same matter, but we all have our own individual thoughts. We think our own ways. But to think about it, like one day that could just stop and you just stop thinking.
Right. But think about it. I mean, we have electrical activity in the brain that creates these thoughts.
Yes.
So it's physical. You know what I'm saying? It's part of us.
Right, but it's
part of us. It's unique. And, you know, and you think about it. Think of music, for example. Think of education, of knowing things. We have that. No other animal has that.
Maybe I think about it as like there's a little bit of God in all of us.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Like
but
magic.
But you see, and
a little
that's
bit
the
of
point.
Rainbows.
Yeah.
If people believed that this is what God is, and not the religious dogmatic thing incarnation that we're seeing of religion today, I think more people would
here's my thing
spiritual
100%,
which means it would help them.
I think if people took the religion to a more present level versus I'm doing this so I can go somewhere better afterwards,
right,
and people realize that this is the gift that we're given, like this experience on earth, this is the gift of life, there's nothing guaranteed after because we just simply don't know, right?
Exactly. But
and
people
I think
are
that
afraid
if,
of that
right and I think if people got real with themselves and realize that you have to, I just like people like me who are just like use like for example, you know, Jesus or Christianity or what, they're like, it's all right what I do here. You just ask Jesus for forgiveness and we're going to go to heaven. Like, that's a load of bullshit, you know? Life is the gift, you know what I mean?
But like, if that's all it takes, then I'll ask.
Right, and the thing is this, look, if it gives a person hope, there's nothing then,
but
wrong
I, but
with
here,
it.
But I'm just talking for the people who are holier than thou
right.
and aren't
trying
the, and
to
the
force
ones,
themselves.
And, or that and just aren't good people but use their religion to excuse their actions
themselves.
Of, you know, whatever.
Of
so,
racism and
or whatever.
Like
exactly,
yeah.
exactly. But because they believe in Jesus, you know, it's all right. I don't like that.
But
to
I
me,
don't think all religion is bad. I mean, I think...
No, not all
no,
of
no,
it,
no.
because different
but I think,
religions
I think,
are different.
I think, exactly. But I think if they practice what they preach of, okay, you be a good person on this earth, here, now, treat others how you want to be treated, honor your mother and father. If they live by the Ten Commandments, you know, but practiced
yeah.
it in their everyday lives...
Everything
you know?
Be cool, right?
And just know that this is the gift. This is what we get. You know,
right,
this is
right.
what we get. This is what we're guaranteed.
Yeah.
Is this moment right here. Nothing yeah. else afterwards, you know. So stop worrying about, you know, what happens after life. Worry about how you treat people
yeah.
today.
Right.
And how you treat yourself. And that's the thing that I don't like about religion is it's so it's just like the afterlife. But like, there may not be such a thing.
Exactly.
This is the life.
Right.
Your brain, this
is
the party.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the after party.
There
you know?
You go.
Have fun at the party.
There you
know?
Go.
Don't,
exactly.
Don't ruin it.
Enjoy the journey.
And I think that's the thing
worry.
Is people ruin the party for the
right.
for a lot of us.
Right.
You know, we're just trying to have a good time or whatever.
Their
and
expectations are too high.
Exactly. Just bring it down, you
yeah.
know? Enjoy the nachos.
Yeah. But I made a post about this. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but I wrote really that the fear of death makes people do crazy
yes,
things.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
Right?
Right.
And do rituals like, you know, like if I pray, if
right.
if I eat kosher, if I do this, if I do that, then everything's going to be okay.
And I think, but I also think that's where the judgment comes in too, is because people get so wrapped up in that and there's like, I need to save people, so I need to, you need to, and it's like, dude, don't worry about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Worry about the now, not the after.
You're
because
absolutely right.
You just... How oftentimes in our lives has something that we thought in the future turned out to be completely not what it ever was when we think?
Yeah,
it, you
but
know
as
what I mean?
Humans, we all worry in our own way about certain things at different levels. So I think it's just a matter of worrying at the right level.
Right. I think it's like exactly. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, people do things in their religion for their own selfish benefit because they think they're guaranteed a spot in the at the table of the afterlife,
right,
you know, and it's
right.
like don't do it for that, and also but just be a good
makes you feel good
or
yeah.
just be a
good
person and just know that we're all in the same experience called life together,
right.
and we all collectively have no guarantee of what's going to happen after, no matter how much you believe faith whatever
or how much
that's
money
not,
you have
exactly
you're not
it
getting,
doesn't matter
you're not guaranteed
we are
a spot
all
anywhere.
Exactly we're all in
yeah.
life this is the
you're
gift
you're born
this
alone and you go alone
yeah
this
is the gift
alone. Yeah
but I mean but that's
unless
the
you're
that,
twins
but
you're
to
born
know know that to know that you're born alone, you die alone, that's why the moment in between is that much more meaningful.
Yes, yeah. exactly. I mean, and it's funny because I was thinking about all this morning. It's like writing a story. Remember, we had Jim Christina here, and he writes books and stuff. And I asked him, I said, do you know the ending? Do you know how the story is going to turn out? And what he says this, look, the way you write a story is you know where it starts, you know where you want it to end.
And then you found
and the rest
middle.
Is everything in the
yeah.
middle.
You want to know what's crazy is as yeah. a lawyer, when you're preparing an opening statement or a closing argument, you do the first part and the last part first, and then you fill in the middle.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah,
not
so
everyone does, but
so,
it's,
yeah.
like, it's a
and
way
you
of
said
going
it's like
about
telling
doing
a story.
Things. Yeah. It's how yeah. you got to do it. You got to fill in. The middle's the hardest part.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
yeah.
that's a, yeah, I mean, just...
And that's
I,
it. That's
I feel
life.
Like, and that's the other thing. And I think about this a lot. I'm like, if aliens did happen to come to this planet, and they took a look inside and saw the shit that they would be like, I don't think so. You know, we're gonna go on to the next one because it's just sad to me that if we all just kind of realized, I think most of us do, but if the people, you know, the people that just can't get over themselves or just are the racist and the this and the homophobe. It's just, dude, we're all in this one life together. Just be
we're ants on what an anthill.
Yeah, just live your life.
So let me ask you this: you guys talk about aliens, like I totally don't believe it at all. But that's why I'm trying to ask you. For example, if there were aliens, are they like us? Is that what you picture?
You don't know. I
see this thing. It's not that. For me, so why here's what I here's what
if you don't
because
know.
Here's what I think because we have discovered scientists have discovered Earth-like planets that harbor the same conditions as Earth for there to be life.
Right.
So for me, but also I look at the ocean. Have you ever seen any of those deep blue sea or whatever? There's some of the craziest shit that you could have. You could never even
those
wrap
are
your
like archaic.
Right.
But what I'm saying, but you can't even wrap your mind. I mean, it's so weird. We haven't even discovered parts of the ocean. But there's some creatures down there that you're like, this has to be an alien. I mean, who up there had that? God, whatever it is, has some sense of humor because that is weird. Right. You know.
Well, okay, no. So for my only reason of not of saying there are no aliens is because I don't know. I mean, it could be that there aren't anything out there, and I don't know what they.
I
would
just think
look
a probability. Like, think about how many planets there are in universes.
The galaxy.
The galaxy is so huge, and there's so many planets out there. It's just for me. I think that there's life that may not look like me or you.
Right.
You know?
So that's why my next question.
It may not be intelligent life where they're or it may just be starting where they're in a different they're a new
but,
planet
but my and that's what my other question is my follow-up question is if that's the case then what makes you think they're better off than we are.
I don't think that anyone's better off. I just
no
think
but
that,
you're saying that they would come here and go oh my god you know what have they done to
truthfully
the planet?
No truthfully well I don't know too. But that's the thing I'm just guessing because to be honest think about where we get a lot of these ideas from the movies
right
and a lot of what the
that's
movies
what
and the
like Star Wars.
It comes out to be true.
Like I
think about it.
I think we're all in the Matrix. I'm pretty
sure. You see, and that's one
works.
Of my biggest fears is that we are in the Matrix.
I 100% agree.
We're all
well, that's why I love the movie. I love the movie, but it's a scary thought.
Yeah. It is.
And the Terminator is the same way. The machines turning on man.
Like what if we're a product of machines?
What if we're Sims? What if someone's playing us as a game?
Right.
Like what if?
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, sometimes I just think that. To me, God is what put in motion into everything else. Like SimCity, you build it, and then it runs on its own, you know? I don't think God intervenes with what's going on. And that's why when people say, well, if there's God, you know, how...
We also put so much pressure onto this guy called God that he's supposed to make everything better. Right. But maybe if he was just some builder from some other...
I bet he's a woman. I bet she...
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't really believe in God.
What if God... Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. What if God... came from somewhere else.
And where did that somewhere
exactly.
else come from? Right, so
but
we have to get
like
to the
like a matrix, you know what I mean? Like he is a product of something else, bigger than we can even.
Who's the boss
God? Exactly. Like there could be, that maybe each God got its own universe. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't know, right?
So everything that we think probably did not happen.
We also have to remember
no
that as humans, we only have access to certain... We can't even access certain parts of our brain.
Yeah,
we don't
but
even
we made
use
Google.
All of our...
We made Google. And let me
not
just...
Not us.
Us.
But
well,
some...
No,
but
humans.
Some people can access more parts of their brain than others. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, those people made Google.
But I think that we can only, as humans, comprehend so much. There is things out there that we may not even... We may not have the ability to understand simply because we don't possess that... That intelligence,
we can't
you know,
that capacity. We don't have that capacity.
Well, that and we can't like see certain things because we only see in certain dimensions. If our eyesight was better, we'd be able to see the light
there's
traveling.
There's
we'd
more
be able
exactly
to see
exactly.
Sound waves.
We are
be,
only
like,
capable.
Of,
like think about animals, right? We are genetically close to certain animals. Like we all share certain, but they can't even talk.
But dolphins,
we
can
use talk.
Sonar.
Right.
Exactly, dolphins can use sonar.
Sonar.
So maybe
so
it's just
it's
the
a difference
fact that we don't possess that capability.
Right.
Not
exactly.
to say that any of this. Not to say that God doesn't exist or aliens exist or whatever. We just may not have the ability right now or the intelligence to know
to access every part of
but
the brain.
But who's to
absolutely.
Say as time goes on, our parents and our ancestors found out things that they probably growing up had no idea they would even know in their lifetime.
Unfortunately,
you know?
I think we've started breeding less human intelligence.
Yeah, and more human stupidity.
All right, and on that note, folks, You've been listening to Rachel's sister.
That was like such a deep conversation.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, we always end up at those conversations, and that's why everybody loves to listen, you know, because if you can start your day like that, and that's what I'm saying, your sister accomplished a lot, at least if I do say so myself, because she starts her day every day doing something that's, I think that's energizing,
deep
right?
Deep thinking.
It's energizing. I mean, it starts your day off. For me, it's like, that's why I wanted to come today, because it starts off your day and you go, and then your mind is like already going, you know? But, so the lawyer in the family, or let's say the young generation,
the little lawyer.
She's coming up. She'll be the next generation.
Are you, so now, having that kind of life, do you even dare be on social media at all?
Oh, yeah, I'm on social media.
So how can people find you? Do you want them to?
Well, depends on the person.
Okay, like Twitter, things like that?
You know,
that
I don't tweet. I just, right. I Twitter has never been my thing, and I don't put a lot of my own personal thoughts out there, but I'll post some photos every now and then. I am on Instagram.
Instagram and stuff? Cool.
At B Wolfie, B-E-E, Wolfie, W-O-L-F-Y. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so you're both Wolfies.
Yeah, like she spells hers differently.
Yeah. But that's still cool, you know, Wolfie, wow. Mm-hmm. And that's also Lobo in Spanish,
yes,
right?
You know, that was my nickname in college. I actually had a good friend who called me Loba, which I guess would be the female wolf. And so that was my college
nickname.
That's
funny, Loba.
There also was a basketball player for the New York Liberty named Rebecca Lobo growing up, and she was my favorite basketball player.
Wow. There was a singer named Lobo, if you know the
Los
song.
Lobos.
Los Lobos. Los Lobos is a group.
The Wolves.
They had a good song, actually, that I remember, but Lobo was a singer, and look him up and stuff. He had the song I'd Love You to Want Me, and you know, I'm not going to get into that now. But at any rate, folks, we're like so beyond our time. It's not even funny, but we have to end up so we can make
this
room for the
next show. This wolf pack has got to go.
Yeah. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us. You're an amazing person. I know you're going to have great things in your life, and you're fortunate to have her as a sister.
Oh, I know. I'm
so
grateful.
As your older sister.
Thanks, Sam.
And you're fortunate to be close. You know what I'm saying? You're very fortunate to even tolerate each other, let alone be close.
Yeah, we have our moments.
But I love my sister so much. So
good. And don't
other.
Forget that, because I tell you, with me, my brother, the moment he met his soon-to-be wife, our relationship was never the same.
Don't you dare.
Never the
I'm
same.
I'm not the one with the
boyfriend. But exactly. Not only that, though, but it depends on your personality. Mm-hmm. Don't forget where you come from.
She's always preferred me over than, there's no man that's going to take us.
Yeah, don't forget where you come from.
Ain't nobody going to break us up. We a wolf pack.
We might
there
as
you
well
go.
Be Siamese.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, a wolf pack, folks. Everybody have a great weekend. Try to be careful out there. Maybe I'll go by some stores. I mean, it's just fun to be out there with the people.
Just be careful. Don't get trampled.
I think so. Yeah, you start to feel like the holiday.
Don't get trampled.
I'm just saying that. I'll probably go see the lines just to get into the parking. I'll say, fuck it, and I'll go home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.